Hey, welcome to Kristen and Chill. I'm Kristen Carney. Here's my proper intro. Hello, I'm very businesslike. Welcome to the show. I normally don't talk about reviews on the show other than to say, give me them. Preferably 5 stars, only 5 stars, 5 stars only. And I don't really like to talk about them because I feel like if I bring up, oh, I got a bad review, then it will initiate more bad reviews. So I try to just be really, really quiet about bad reviews and just pretend they don't exist. That's what I do with all my problems, just pretending they don't exist. However, I got one that was remarkable and I wanted to share it with you guys. And we check our reviews a lot. You know, us podcasters, we're people too. I know you guys think podcast, you think, wow, another planet, big deal. Amazing celebrity, must not even be like us, but believe it or not, podcasters, we're just like you, except poorer. But I do check my reviews enough to, you know, feel a little bit like obsessed, not super obsessed, but I'm checking, you know, I check. It's like you walk by a mirror, you look. I walk by my computer, I check. I walk by my computer thousands of times a day, so I have to check. No, I don't check that often, but I'm checking in occasionally. Occasionally means a lot. And I got a really bad one yesterday, and I posted it on my social media as well as now talking about it here. Not because I'm like, oh, I got 1 star, meh, but because it was so dumb. And I understand if you give something 1 star because it like genuinely sucked. But if it's not like your thing, Adam Carolla talks about this. If it's like, if you don't like comedy movies, you shouldn't really review comedy movies because you're going to be biased to not really like them to begin with. So someone who's not depressed or has not struggled with mental health apparently, or maybe has and is just liking only bright and cheery conversation, wrote a review essentially saying, ugh, the show's so depressing, 1 star. Yeah, exactly. The show is very, very depressing. I almost think it should get 5 stars for being depressing because that way I'm validating the fact that depression sucks. If I was like doing a show on depression and it was cheery and happy, I'd be like, this isn't a real show on depression, 1 star. But I got a 1 star for the fact that this show about depression is in fact depressing. But I will say it's gotten a little less depressing since I've switched it over. I try to keep it still pessimistic, of course. But maybe I hope I'm not undoing everything that I just said, which is a show on depression should be depressing because now it's not as depressing, but it's not completely about depression anymore. So anyway, you guys are with me. You know what I mean? It's very, very amazing. And so I posted a tweet on my Twitter. Obviously that's where you post tweets, but I did also post the tweet on my Instagram. If you guys want to check out what I said, you can find me on Twitter at Kristen Carney, KristenCarney, or on Instagram. A lot shorter, saving your fingers from carpal tunnel, Chris Carn, KristenCarn. But basically, I just said, the only goal I have for the rest of my life is to find this person and just say, exactly, yes, it's depressing. I mean, I'd like to say some other things as well, but I'm not bitter. I'm very secure, and I barely ever check my reviews. But if you guys do want to leave a 5-star review, this would be a wonderful time to do so. And And as I'm sitting here recording this, I'm getting whiffs of my dog Foca's smell. Foca, by the way, means seal in Spanish. I found her. Her microchip was Foca to begin with, if anyone's wondering why her name is Foca. She does look like a seal a little bit. And anyway, her smell is very intense. She doesn't smell bad, but she smells like a dog. And it's really intense. And as I'm sitting here inhaling, I really feel like I should tell my therapist how much I love the smell of dog. It's such a weird, satisfying smell. I love dog smell. And I don't know if it's because it's my dog that I, you know, like the grossness of it. Because it's like if you have a baby and like the baby might smell or the smell of the poop of the baby. I don't know. I don't even know if that's a thing. I could be making that up. But if you're the mother, it's like you like it. And I think it's more of a connection because you're psychologically you're, you know, tied into them. And so basically, I will love my child's poop smell based on the fact that I love Foka's dog smell. And of course, I don't want to wear it like cologne. But if a dude smelled like a dog, I don't know if it would be a turn on or a turn off. It might just be a turn nothing because, you know, I'm not turned on by dogs. That would be really weird. So don't wear dog cologne on a date. But also, I just like that inhale. I like that whiff. I think it also depends on the setting. If I was out at a restaurant and about to bite into a juicy steak and I just smelled wet dog, maybe not be the best. But right now, I'm in my room and I mean, she's had a bath somewhat recently. So it's not like she's not clean. She just has a dog smell. And boy, oh boy, do I like that smell. Anyway, speaking of dog smell, I have a very funny comedian on today's show who I'm a very big fan of. We know each other and we talk about how we know each other. So the beginning part about the first 20 minutes of the show isn't necessarily about things we tell our therapist or anything mental health related. But I do say, okay, now we have to get on track and start talking about what we're supposed to be talking about. So I hope you guys enjoy the show. Michael Costa is his name. I don't think I said, did I say that? He is a correspondent on The Daily Show. Very, very, very funny. He's that perfect, like, comedy anchor. Because he seems like he could be an anchor. But then he's, you know, not one. So it's a perfect mix. So check him out on The Daily Show. You can also find him at michaelcosta.com. That's K-O-S-T-A. I'll let you figure out how to spell Michael. And I hope you're all doing well. I'll be doing a live stream on Thursday. I know I always do this late notice, but I'll be hanging out on Patreon if you guys want to join. It's literally as little as a dollar to hang out, and you can cancel it. Like, I'm not promoting you cancel it. I mean, you know, it's a dollar. But just letting you know, if you do want to join in, get a sampling of the hangout, what we do, that's Thursday. This Thursday, which is June 27th, I'm pretty sure. Thursday, 10 p.m. or 10:30 p.m. I can't read. I'm a mess. It's one or the other. But if you go to Patreon, you'll see 10 p.m. Eastern time. And the reason I do that is because I want to have people on the West Coast be home from work in time. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that you have a job and you're successful. And I do want to do eventually one that's in the morning so that my European listeners can join in, because it's always like 4 a.m. for them or whatever time, which, I mean, come on, stop being so lazy. Get out of bed, am I right? So maybe next time, if I get some interest about doing one earlier in the morning Eastern time, then I will, so that I can hang out with Jana from Germany and Stefan, who I think is also from Germany. Maybe. I'm pretty sure. He seems strict, so he must be. So anyway, that's it. If you guys want to join, patreon.com/KristenAndChill. And I hope you're all doing well. And I always feel like there's something else I should say, but I'm forgetting. I don't know. I'm probably forgetting something. But regardless, enjoy this week's show. Test.
Have a good podcast.
I have a very good podcast. It's a very, very good podcast. 5 stars on iTunes.
That's amazing.
5 stars.
Congratulations.
But I've gotten a few stars.
Out of 10 stars, is that what it is?
It's 5 out of 100.
Out of 100, so you're 5%.
I'm the worst.
Have we started the podcast
yet? I'm
going to
edit that out probably. I do edit, so.
Oh, great. Perfect. So I can be free.
Yes, but I hate editing more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it more than traffic.
Wow.
So I really hate it.
So let's try hard to not have to edit this.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I actually have a podcast that should be up today, but it's not up today because
it's a fucking edit.
Yeah.
Is swearing a thing?
Swearing's a fine thing.
Okay, good.
It's just more of the, this good conversation?
Right. But that's so tough for you to analyze your own conversation.
It is tough because I think everything that I do is wonderful.
Yeah.
So my
and terrible at the same time.
Exactly. Right. So it's the judgment's off. But I've still, you know, actually I have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Part of
Please.
Me wants.
That's what this is podcast.
I'm
is
here
about.
To lie. Part of me wants to say, oh, I'm still not used to listening to my voice, mm-hmm. but I kind of am mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. I'm used to it, but I still hate it.
Yeah.
I'll never not.
You recognize it, but it doesn't mean that you like it.
I recognize it.
Yeah. I feel like as I get older, that's my personality now. I recognize who I am, but I don't necessarily love it. You know what I mean?
I like who you are though.
Okay, good.
You know what you have? You have like that. I mean, it's perfect for the, like the show thing, but so
okay.
your personality to me is mm-hmm. my brother-in-law's.
Okay.
But funny.
Nice.
And he's kind of an asshole.
Sure.
So you're like the funny, likable version of him. Sure. He's a CFO. He wears a suit.
I like that.
He'd look like your double on
right.
The Daily Show.
Right.
He only talks about Mercedes.
Oh, God. Is he likable?
He's likable because he's got a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
You also have a twinkle in your eye.
Thank you. Yeah.
But he also has a twinkle up his ass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he's just, you know, very judgmental. And what's great is my sister listens to this podcast.
Wow.
So she's going to hear me say
this.
All these things.
Yeah.
But you are him, but the likable version. And he is likable, but like he's not funny.
You know, I started comedy in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and a woman that
it's
I didn't
a great place to start.
Yeah, it is. That I didn't get along with very well gave me advice that now I've been in comedy 15 or 16 years. It was the best advice I ever got. Okay.
Quit.
Exactly. She said, if they don't like you, they're not going to laugh with you, right? Great advice. Mm-hmm. Now, what if I tell you now that she jumped off the George Washington Bridge and killed herself 4 years ago? So the best advice I got came from somebody who hated herself so much it was gone.
Well, you know my co-host of this
yes,
podcast
I
killed
do.
Herself.
And I didn't mean to bring that up like
no,
immediately.
It's fine. No.
But I was looking at like my old like comedy book and I wrote down Jawan Lee's advice to me because I thought it was...
Well, that's why. Her name was Joanne.
No shit. I know. And she was like...
Joanne or Joan.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was like in a dental school. So what do you expect? Because they kill themselves. The dental people kill themselves. It's the highest
they
profession.
They do.
Yeah. But I was like, that's crazy. That's so comedy. The best advice I ever got was from someone that couldn't even... That was sick.
Right. Well, I looked at Stevie's passing or mm-hmm. death. A reflection on... Wow, well, she started doing a podcast with me and then killed herself.
Right.
So the state of her career or life probably wasn't where she wanted it to be.
I mean, how many minutes am I in this? You know, I'm already feeling like extreme right. dread. I had a Fox short com is what it was called. Not a sitcom, but it was like half of a sitcom.
That's humiliating.
This, yeah. Well, it's, you know, I'm not trying to brag. The network felt comfortable giving me 12 minutes, but I wrote it with this wonderful writer named Lester Lewis, and we worked together for like 6 weeks, and then Fox called us and said, hey, we're not picking it up. We're not picking any of them up. And then he walked his kids to school and hanged himself. So it's me.
It is you.
It's me, and it's you as well.
It's both of us.
Yeah. I shouldn't have brought this up immediately in the podcast.
No, it's perfect because I have a buzz.
Okay.
And so yeah. I can clearly talk about it with respect and dignity and all of those things.
That isn't why I just brought it up because you were talking about your brother-in-law. He's a bit of a, he's got this douche persona, but he's got a twinkle in his eye. And what led me to the dark path that I went down is I always loved arrogance. I always thought arrogance was so funny. But you got to have a twinkle in your eye. You have to be likable.
You do.
And that's when I thought of Jawan, and then we went down. Anyway, so.
But that's you.
I think so. I try. Yeah. I mean, I actually think.
But I didn't like you at first.
There we go. Tell me why.
So I want to talk about how we first met.
Yes, please.
I think it might have been a reflection of my own maybe self inadequacy or something.
Sure.
Probably. Yeah,
probably. Most likely.
But we went to. So where'd we go together?
Well, I had forgotten it, but then when we reconnected, it was like, oh, yeah, I do remember that. I believe we drove down to Redondo Beach.
Right.
To that really terrible bar/comedy show.
Yeah, and I remember being in the car with you.
Right.
It was almost like being roofied. Like, I had no idea how I got there,
thank you
but
for
I
that.
Was there.
That really will help, will help me. Yeah.
I was sick to my stomach. You know, right. I couldn't. Right. I didn't. Luckily, I couldn't. Keep my eyes open. I didn't have to.
What
look
do
at
you remember about that besides the roofie part?
What I remember is being in the car with you, but I have no recollection as to how we came to mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. in the car together.
Mm-hmm.
Who I was it? John Roy that introduced us. I don't know who introduced us or how. I don't remember texting you. I don't remember calling you. Mm-hmm. I don't remember knowing mm-hmm. you. I just remember being in a car with you, going to Redondo Beach. You did a spot.
Right. I don't know if text was a thing yet.
I don't know.
And I remember.
Well, it was.
It was? Okay.
Because it was, so I moved to LA in 2009, okay. I think. Or 2008. Okay. So it was okay. 2008. So it was 2008, 2009.
It was right after you moved there and somebody said to me, would you mind like
helping this,
showing her
sad
around
girl.
This sad girl. And I was brand new and I was like, well, I'm going to, and I think I called you. I don't know what happened. I remember looking online to see if you were cute, but you couldn't do that yet on the internet.
Yes, you could. This was not 1950.
There was
Facebook.
No, but I don't even remember, like, maybe I saw a quick picture of you. I don't know. By the way,
well, you couldn't scroll the way you can now.
You can't scroll. Yeah. And also, what does that say about me? The first thing I did was look to see if you were cute.
Well,
that's
of course.
Terrible.
Well,
that's...
I would look to see if you were cute, okay. And or like rapey.
Rapey, right. So.
And so I was correct. Yes, on both ends.
Yes, thank you so much. And, so then I remember driving down to Redondo Beach, and that's kind of it. But I remember we had a good hang. It wasn't,
yeah, but
it was comfortable.
I thought
for
you
me.
Were douchey.
Sure, great.
I was okay. Like, oh, this guy's douchey.
Yeah, in his Honda Civic.
Yeah, I think so. You had like a black, or it was some sort of sporty ish.
Oh, sporty-ish.
Maybe not sporty. But like, I don't know. I remember it being like a dark interior or something. Mm-hmm. And I didn't.
You know, that bar that we went that night was on Bar Rescue. Do you know that show?
Oh, wow. I'm not surprised because I remember it being a terrible bar.
It was a terrible bar and a terrible show.
I'm sure it didn't even survive Bar Rescue.
Yeah. It was. I remember watching it on Bar Rescue going like, oh, cool. And then it's boarded up.
Well, they're like, it didn't survive Michael Costa's stand-up.
Very few things do. But I remember we hung out and then that was kind of it, right?
Yeah. And then I don't think I remember seeing you like years later because I didn't really get in the scene very much. Like
right.
I stay on the sidelines. I don't like to interact mm-hmm. with people. It makes me uncomfortable. So I remember seeing you at the Improv, maybe on stage okay. or something, and going, oh, that's that douchey guy.
That's that douchey guy that went out of his way to pick me up and drove me down to Redondo Beach. And
yeah, how douchey of him.
Yeah.
And he dropped me off. He didn't roofie me or anything.
I didn't roofie
right?
you or even like, right. yeah.
But yet still a douche.
Still a douche somehow.
But then you redeemed yourself.
What
I mean, you're definitely still a douche.
Yes. I think that's okay. I think there's likable douche. I mean, relax.
There is,
relax,
but that's what
ladies.
I realized.
With all this douche shit, it's
I
like
know.
There's likable douche.
That's what I realized. Because, and, so how we reconnected.
Yeah.
I was, so I had just gotten out of a relationship.
Okay.
And I was desperately just trying to like do anything to fill my time.
Sure.
And so my friend Brandon worked for Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I'll get you some PA gigs.
Oh,
so I
fuck,
was.
I forgot about this.
So I was.
Yes.
I want to say a physician's assistant. I was a production assistant.
I remember this now.
On this Comedy Central thing that you were doing, this
yes.
like game show thing.
Yes.
And you were in like a matching plaid tuxedo suit type of thing.
Suit,
and,
yeah.
And you played a kind of like a douchey.
Played myself.
You played yourself
yeah.
very well. And but I, you pulled in, and I don't think I realized that you were on the shoot. And I remember you pulled in. Probably in the same car that you had 10 years ago because you're not doing well.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the exact same car.
Yeah, just a little rustier. And I remember you pulled in and you were like, oh, I remember you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember you.
Yeah, and I couldn't put it all together.
No, I tried not to put it all together.
Yeah. By the way, that pilot, whatever it was called, what was it called?
It was something about a game show. I don't know, like in a basement, game show basement,
yeah.
something.
It's funny. It's on my website still.
Oh, it is?
Still.
I never saw it.
You
oh,
never
okay.
saw it. You should see it. You'll see your work there.
You did a very good job.
Thank you very
much. I was
much.
Very impressed at your composure because they wanted you to many times give a new line. Like
yeah.
you had said something funny and they're
yeah.
like, now say something again.
That's how you know I nailed it.
You nailed it.
When
you
they
did.
Want you to give you a new one immediately.
Yeah. And I was like, this guy's a professional. Maybe he's not so douchey.
Thanks for that. Isn't douchey just mean you're okay looking? Because if isn't the opposite of douchey just like a nerd guy?
No, because there's good looking guys that I don't think are douchey.
So what's douche?
It was a little arrogant.
Arrogance. Mm-hmm. Confidence.
Confidence.
Lack of humility.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh wait, he does have, but he's got the twinkle. I think I saw the twinkle the second time
right.
around.
Right. Okay.
And
what's a female yeah. equivalent to a douche? A bitch? Cocky?
I want to say cunt, but no, that's
cunt.
Too extreme.
Okay. It's a woman that like knows she's hot type thing?
Cunty.
Cunty's not as harsh.
Cunty.
Cunty.
I wouldn't say
okay.
cunt, yeah.
Okay.
Cunty.
Got it.
Definitely cunty, and you know a girl is cunty when she gets mad at the word cunty.
Right.
That's how you can discern.
But to your male listeners, who I'm sure there's plenty of, this is what's so annoying. I picked up Kristen, and I'm a douche, but I'm in a Honda... Civic EX. It's not like I'm in a 5 Series with gel in my hair.
Honestly, I think you had a spoiler on your car. And spoiler. So anyone with a spoiler.
Get out of here with this shit.
You had a spoiler. You know why it's called spoiler? Because it spoils my mood.
It spoiled your mood big time. But you drew conclusions based off of image.
A spoiler.
And this is why men get worried talking to women. Because you immediately made up the mind that I had a spoiler, you know?
Yeah.
I had a tape player.
I think at the time also, I have to say, because now I'm older. Mm-hmm. So I was 25.
That's for sure.
I was 25.
Right.
And so maybe I was a little more narrow-minded.
Sure.
Because I think if I did meet you today, because you were the same person then that you are now, because you're obviously still a douche.
Still a douche, 100%.
But if I met you then, or if I met you now, I think I probably would go, oh, this guy.
He's okay.
I like this guy.
He's okay.
But maybe I was paranoid because I'm in LA.
Yeah.
You know, a good kind of good looking, thinks he's special, he's tall.
I think I always thought confidence was funny, especially because at the end of the day, we're all dying.
Yes.
We're all dead. So
luckily,
to be cocky, to be arrogant is to me the ultimate funniest joke.
But there's, like you said before, there's certain people that can be cocky and likable, because I think right now in comedy, there's a trend of I'm so cool that this is funny.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something comedic about the way you do it.
Okay.
Because it's almost like you're satirizing being cool. Whereas like the hipster alt scene, they're like, I'm literally too cool. They think they're too cool and they bleed that from the stage. Whereas like you, it's almost like you know who you are. You know yourself so well that you're self-aware enough to be like, I'm this guy. I'm like a tall, handsome dude doing comedy. You're self-aware. I think that's
the
difference.
Sure. The way I would describe it is I always thought it was cool to try. I thought effort was attractive. If you try to be funny, if you put in full effort, I'm okay with
that. You're so wrong.
I'm okay with that. Okay. Right. Perfect. I find the like hipster vibe that you're talking about is they're trying.
They're trying to not try.
But they're trying to not try.
I know.
I think it's cool to try.
I
think it's cool to have full effort. And if you fail, you fail. But so what I've always tried to do is I want to, the audience is important to me. I'm trying to show you that this is a full effort for me.
Yeah.
I go to those fucking shows in Williamsburg that way or wherever I go.
Too cool.
And I'm like, you guys, you want acceptance just as much as everybody else. Stop trying to pretend like you don't.
Right. Well, it's the same equivalent of calling out the elephant in the room. You make people comfortable when you point something out. And and I'm not comfortable with the hipster alt-y type of person because there's a dishonesty. Because they're not calling out.
It's not authentic.
It's not authentic. They're not calling out what they're doing, which is wanting approval just as much as me.
We all want it.
So I feel like a wall between myself and them because I don't feel the honesty. But with you, I'm like, oh, I feel honesty. That's why I don't think you're douchey.
And even though you've called me douchey 15, yes.
I'm going to continue to.
Yeah, and as you should. I agree with you on that. I've always thought that world lacked authenticity. Now, maybe it didn't when it started, you know, because they probably saw the comedy club comedians in the 80s and early 90s and were like, this is not authentic.
Right.
There's no way.
Right.
This is garbage. Your headshot is you like.
Everything always goes too extreme.
It goes too extreme. And so now I think, I mean, I see these people wearing their backpacks on stage and then they're looking at their notebook, but they're doing old polished jokes looking at their notebook.
Right.
And they do it all the time. I just, anyway.
It's disingenuous.
And also, Michael, get over it. It's comedy. You do it. It's showbiz. Get it. Do whatever makes the audience
laugh. That's the other thing, too.
So stop fucking thinking about it too much.
I know. I think about it way too much. I mean, I stick on those things because I feel my own sense of unacceptance from that world. Like, if I ever, like, one of the last shows I did in LA was in a Chinese bar or Chinese restaurant or something. I think you might. And it was just like a sea of striped shirts and glasses staring at me, and they would give me nothing. And so I have a bitterness toward them.
Sure.
That makes them worse than they actually are.
Yeah.
They're fine. They're people.
They're people.
We're all people.
And also, I would just say, get over that shit and go do another show in front of them and do another one and do another one and do another one. And it's like,
Right.
So.
Or do you ever do well in front of the hipster crowd?
Yeah, I can. I can,
What do you have to do to do well?
I usually, that's an interesting conversation I have with myself. It's like, do I want to immediately like downplay me, hey, I'm one of you guys, and I'm not really trying right now, because
Right.
Or do I want to just like give them who I am? I, you know, any comic that says they do the exact same like persona every room, I think it's a little bit of a lie. You have to gauge the room.
You do.
I did a show at the Knitting Factory Sunday night in Williamsburg a while back, and I was
that
like,
that name just makes my knees like weak. Like, how could I be funny at the Factory of Knitting?
At Factory of Knitting.
Literally. Right. Like,
and it was like very hipster, very black, very brown, and I'm like the only white dude there who's like 6'4". I talk about tennis on stage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just was like open by saying like, where are my white people at? And I said it with confidence and they fucking laughed and it was like, okay, we're good.
Right, because you made them comfortable.
I made them comfortable. But I was a little nervous. I think if I would have been more nervous when I said that, they would have been like, oh shit, this guy's
you
would
have lost it, yeah.
And also, I have literally bombed the hardest I've ever bombed at that same room. It's not the end of the world. It's okay. Your true friends still like you, but you sweat a lot.
But it sucks when you don't have true friends.
Well, that's
still
the thing.
Like
that's
you.
Where you're. That's
right.
The case
that's
you're,
how I'm stuck. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, so the show
is this. Am I doing a good job on your podcast?
Well, I was just gonna say. Normally, I don't let it flow this freely.
Flow this freely.
Because I open with things I tell my therapist. Right. So stuff that we would tell our therapist. Right. But I think this relates to stuff that we tell our therapist. Okay. Like me just saying I'm stuck on hipsters and like how they don't like me. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, so this will be my thing I tell my therapist.
Okay.
I have some listeners and I'm actually going to call one out specifically.
Okay.
Banana Nicole Smith. That's her. That's not her real name, but on Instagram.
It's okay if it is.
She's it is okay if it is. Not married to an old man, not dead. But she's all tatted up, like 100%. There's barely any visible skin left, and she loves me and she loves my show.
Okay.
And I used to have this inferiority complex around people with tattoos or something. Okay. Same with another listener, Hannah, who actually did the show. She's tatted all over the place. Lives in Brooklyn.
Okay.
You know, they're like cool.
They're fucking
and they
awesome,
like
those
me.
People. Yeah, yeah.
And it's, I still really can't accept it to this day. Right. I think, well, if they actually met me, they would hate me. Right. They don't really know me. There's no way they can actually like me. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of have to let down my self-hatred guard and say, oh, well, maybe I'm not so bad.
Right.
But it still blows my mind that someone like her, who's like super cool and kind of dresses like, I don't know, that like it's like 50s, that kind of 1950s. I know you don't know because you play
band?
Tennis.
Big band? I mean, what do I
literally
know?
Literally yes. Big band, but with the edgy side, but you're okay. Too...
Betty Boop?
Like a Betty Boop. Okay. There's a name for it. But like a Betty Boop with tattoos. And I every time I've been around that kind of type of person, I think they're looking at me weird or they're judging me or they don't like me or they're like, oh, this chick, she's like uptight and, and you know, is probably racist. I don't know. Like, I feel like they look at me in a certain way. And so it's I have to remind myself that I'm okay. I'm a human. People with tattoos or without tattoos, cool or not cool, can like me.
But isn't that just a mirror? Like, if you think she's looking at you, like judging you so hard, that's really just a mirror. That's what you're doing to her. I mean, am I allowed to challenge you on your podcast?
Yes, please.
Or am I not allowed
to? Yeah, everyone just bows down to me usually on my podcast.
I mean, at the end of the day, she sounds like she kind of like diffused you by accepting you and being nice to you.
Well, she's awesome.
Yeah.
And we like talk on direct message on Instagram and she sent me a pair of Converse sneakers.
Oh, wow. I like
and
this.
Stuff.
I like her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was diffusing me so much as it was just. So when I was in high school, I wanted to learn how to play the guitar, but I didn't think I was cool enough to learn how to play the guitar.
Okay.
And I thought you had to be cool to play the guitar.
Right.
You can't play the guitar and be uncool.
It's true.
Right.
Right.
So my mom brought me to this music store and we walked in and it's the records are everywhere. I don't know shit about records. Mm-mm. I don't care about records. I the last thing I want to do is go to a record store and look through old records.
Right.
Could bore me. Like reading to me sounds more exciting.
Right.
So we're in this record store. There's guitars and I did the teenage thing where I got really aggressive with my mom and I was being really mean to my mom because I was so uncomfortable because all I was thinking was, I'm not cool enough to be in here.
Right.
I'm not cool enough. I'm not cool enough.
Right.
And I've carried that throughout my life.
Yeah, that's like an underlying theme with you.
Yeah. But it's so crazy because I'm the coolest.
You are the coolest.
Right. So
I mean, I have to admit, go ahead, finish.
Well, I was just going to say, so she was kind of, Banana Nicole Smith is the guitar store experience
right,
in person.
Right.
And it made me go, oh, wow, maybe I am cool enough. And not that it even matters to be cool. It's just maybe I'm not, I feel like, I don't know. I think it's an inferiority complex.
Well, your inferiority is a nice, it's working with you. You know, you downplay it. You're like that undercover hot girl that it's like, I don't know, you know, and you're like, wait a second, this girl's actually really hot. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to make a decision if you're going to ever like stop being Miss Inferior. And then what happens?
Right.
Then is it like cocky, well, Kristen? That's
right.
That's,
but is that the next step? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I think it's because there's always been a disconnect between who I am mm-hmm. and what I maybe look like.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was younger and I had, I had a crossed eye.
Okay.
I don't know if you do that. Very, very, not an attractive child.
I have to leave now. I'm sorry.
Podcast is over. I had that image in my mind.
Right. That makes sense.
And so I actually tried to do a joke about how I understand transgender people.
Uh-oh.
Because they feel like they're in the wrong body.
Right.
I feel like I'm in the wrong body. But not for sex-wise, just right. like looks-wise.
You think you have like, you think that you're like inferiority, good personality, blah, 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 shouldn't be in like a pretty girl's body.
Right. And so it's weird because I approach the world in my mind as if I'm like George, like I look like George Costanza in my mind, even though he's a man. Pretend George Costanza as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I approach the world. But then the world doesn't look at me like a George Costanza woman.
Right.
And it's very difficult. And
what
it's
do you want?
Very hard. To sleep. I just want to go to bed.
Okay, perfect. I mean, do you want to be the like undercover hottie?
No, because
or do you want to be like the beautiful woman walking the runway, getting fucking lingerie sent to you all the time?
That because that would be consistent. It would be easy.
Okay.
There's a behavior that corresponds to that look.
Right.
Right. And so it's consistent. People believe it. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But with me, and if I was the undercover hot girl, it misaligns because. In your mind, you're not attractive, but then people see you as attractive. And mm-hmm. so you're acting as if you're like a nerdy 12-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then guys are confused. And so then they don't really want to date you because you're too weird and funny.
Right, right.
You know, so I would just like it to be simple. I would either like to just, but the thing is,
mm-hmm.
I do want to feel pretty. So I'll like do my makeup and do my hair and that kind of thing.
Right.
Because I feel like, well, I'm halfway there. I got to stick with it.
Right.
Because I don't want to like be like, ew, well, it's, you know, no makeup girl. And, you know, it's just a little boring.
Yeah. You still have like personal hygiene.
Right. So I do want to feel and look attractive, but it just doesn't make sense in my mind when I do.
Isn't this just late bloomer situation? You know, if you were like an ugly kid with a cross eye and then you had to really develop a personality, actually learn how to talk to people, actually ask questions. I think what happens to so many pretty women is their whole life they've never asked a question.
Yeah, but it's so easy for them.
It is so easy for them. But it's like parents out there of pretty women especially, teach your kid how to ask questions. Even if it's fake.
I think it's
faux interest.
If you have an attractive child, you should treat them as if they're ugly.
But it's not
to help
right.
build the personality.
Right. But it's not sorry to bring gender into it. It's not an attractive male. It's an attractive woman. An attractive male, yes, they get, I guess, some more privilege, whatever, whatever. But it's just not the same. Our society is so fucked up with how it's like every pretty little girl, like, oh, what a princess, what's so beautiful. And the girl never learns how to fucking have a chat.
Right.
Why am I getting so heated about it?
Well, because you want people to go to my website
yes.
and actually hit me up
that's
for
what I'm
banter
saying.
Help.
Go to her fucking
that's
website.
That's what I do. KristenCarney.com/datinghelp. And I'll help you banter, man or woman. I'll teach you how to be endearing.
It's important. Small talk is important. And maybe banter is different than small talk.
It's roughly the same. Okay. Banter should be a little more playful. Small talk can be monotonous, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to really be
weather,
funny in small
this
talk.
Elevator
yes.
slow. Boy,
right.
I like that shirt.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Right.
Banter takes it up a level.
Takes it up a level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a good way to kind of filter out people. Like
sure.
if they can't keep up with you.
Yeah. Peace out.
Bye.
Yeah. I mean, bar pickup behavior is banter, right?
Yeah.
Make it fun. Oh, my God. I want to hang with this person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you seem like you'd have a good banter.
I don't
game.
Know. I mean, yeah, yes. Do I know how to banter? I think so. But like bar pickup situations, everything okay? I don't know. But I definitely feel comfortable doing small talk. You know, I mean, growing up in my house, my mom, when we were kids, she used to have a tennis ball, and she would.
I remember you said this before.
She would do the tennis ball game with us, where I would like say, "Hey, how was your day today?" And I would pass you the ball, and then you would answer. But you would then, in order to pass me the ball, you had to ask me a question.
I'm wondering why you've told me about this before. How did we get to that?
Maybe it was the same thing. I don't know. Is that right? I've told you.
Yeah, you've told me about that. Yeah.
It's great. It's one of my banter stories.
Well, I'm going to add it to my banter book.
I think you
and
should.
And I'm going to steal it and then copyright it and be the original author of it.
That's perfect.
But I do always say it, you know, and this is not original, but it's like a tennis match or a ping pong game.
Yeah, for sure.
Go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, you didn't copyright that, did you?
I'm going to now and then get nowhere with it. They'll reject the copyright. But it's worth the try. It's effort.
Just ask people questions, everybody.
Yeah. Why were we talking about that? But
we were talking about Pretty Girl or whatever.
No. Before, like a long time ago when you brought that up, because you said the exact same thing. And you're just on a script. It's like I pull your string, you say the same thing.
I have 6 talking points. My publicist over there just keeps saying, like, number 3, do number 2. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I'm
right. I thought it was baseball, but, you know, just doing the plays.
The, giving me the codes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
All right. So just tell me what you would tell your therapist.
You know, it ends up therapy's tough. I mean, I don't know. I never really, and maybe this is my problem. I never really trusted or thought my therapist had the authority to tell me what was going on.
Well, right. They're just another person.
Just another fucking person.
It's like, who are you?
Yeah. So sometimes it's like, I want them to say what, lots of times I would want my therapist to say what I just reaffirm a belief I had. I do a joke on stage about how, like, if they paid us, they would fix us.
Right.
You know, if it was like, hey, get over your mom. Here's $50. Get the fuck out.
I know.
But they don't.
But they're motivated to prolong them. Your suffering.
We pay them.
Right.
So they just listen. They just listen. And I believe therapy, I think you should go in and out of therapy. I think you need to keep your therapist guessing all the time. She may quit today.
Yeah, yeah. Almost like in a dating scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they like me? Do they not like me? I want to,
You need to stay pretty for your therapist.
You do.
You know what I mean? So I didn't get into family much with my therapist. I don't have a therapist right now. I'd like one, but it takes so fucking long to find one.
It's really difficult. I've talked about that a million times.
It's exhausting.
I
have great insurance.
Leave messages. Right.
And I still can't get one.
No, I know. And so it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of...
I need a therapist for the fact that I can't get a therapist.
Family dynamics came up a lot when I would have therapy. I'm the youngest of 4. And there was always like a little bit of competition for mom and dad's attention. So that was something that would come up from time to time. But I never felt like it was like this huge thing.
Yeah. You're almost... So I had Mark Norman on the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he said he found himself in therapy like making up problems to just get his money's worth.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's what one of those situations is.
I'm the youngest. Mom never liked me. And I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, she fucking did. There's also 4 kids, Michael. Relax. She did a great job.
Right.
You know?
We don't have to think any deeper about that specifically.
Yeah. So... My sister always says, like, you do the best you can with what you have. And I had so much available to me. And of course I can nitpick stuff. Of course. Are you serious? Of course. But, you know, so that, you know, I honestly, to answer your question, and no one who's listens is going to like this, I talk to my therapist about work the most. And I mean work. I mean, like, not deep emotional shit. But like, this person is really fucking pissing me off. And how can you guide me to not blow up the workplace and keep this a working relationship?
Yeah.
Really? I think that's pretty standard stuff.
It is. And it's good to have a sounding board because I think,
you
know, you're not fucked up enough to really need a therapist.
I don't think so.
So it's nice to have someone to just like throw things off of, get advice from. And that was one of my beefs with therapy. I haven't been to therapy in a really long time, but, when I was there, I just felt like I was talking in circles.
Yeah.
And I would talk about the same thing over and over, and I would almost get deeper into it because I would never... Some people say talk therapy is helpful because you talk it out and it leaves your mind. Mm-hmm. If I talk about it, it's more prevalent. It's in,
like,
my brain.
It's like printed now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I ended up stopping seeing my therapist because I just felt like it was almost making me worse.
I think people need to be willing to bounce out on their therapist.
Totally. And I think I felt this because I'm like a people pleaser, and I feel nervous rocking the boat. It's almost like if I go get my hair cut, I can't be like, I hate it.
Right.
You know, I can't be honest, which, by the way, happened recently.
It looks terrible.
I know. It. Yeah. I actually, I know. Yeah. I've been cutting it on my own, like, daily, like, just like trying to fix
it. Like a crazy girl haircut.
But I can't say it. And so in therapy, what would happen would be they'd say, okay, we're all set. So we'll see you next week. And I could not every week. I'm like, just say it this week. Just say, no, actually, I think I'd like to go down to 2 times a month.
Yeah.
I could never bring myself to say it.
2 times a month is enough.
It's plenty.
Also, I don't think there's a human being out there that can confidently say to the face of someone, I hate my haircut. You're just bulldozed in that situation, period.
I know.
That's not a weakness on you. That's just a difficult situation.
Yeah, but, you know, there's the people that seem like they're like really rich and wealthy, and they just tell it like, oh, well, this is not what I wanted. Right, you know, how do you become one of those people? Even if I had $1 billion, which is not a thing.
No, it is a thing.
I meant to say a billion. I would not be able to say, no, this isn't right. I'd go, go home, cry, weep a little bit, get out scissors.
Bitch about it,
call someone, feel ugly. The whole like thing. It's interesting how that is easier. It's easier to go through all that pain and suffering than it is to just say, actually, could you take a little bit more off the side? For some reason, that is, and I said this before on the podcast about going to a massage when I've said, oh, I do like a deep tissue, like a hard massage.
They never do hard enough.
No, when they do it too hard, and then I can't say that's too hard because I had said I liked it hard. So it's easier for me to suffer through an hour of just like bruising damage to my body than it is for me to say, would you mind actually backing it off just like a hair? I can't say it. It's painful. It's more painful than the bruising.
It's hard to be direct. It's hard to be honest. It's why people get paid a lot of money who are honest.
You know what? And I'm going to be honest right now because I'm going to pee my pants.
Go.
So
I'll go after you.
Okay, good.
Do you want me to keep talking?
Yes, because I hate the sound of the pee noise. I'm gonna run the water. Okay. See, I didn't want to stop to go to the bathroom because the flow. To have that pee flow, you stop the conversation
flow.
Yeah,
but it's better to flow. I mean, I had to do it too.
I had to go really bad. I couldn't focus.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
All right. Well, we'll jump from whatever we were just talking about to the next portion.
Okay.
And we'll roll through this one kind of quick. Mm. I like to call it socially challenged.
Okay.
So I talk to people about their friendship habits or their socializing habits.
Okay.
Tell me how you make friends. Do you have friends? Do you like friends? What's your situation?
Oh, man. Well, this is tough. That's a tough question.
It is.
Yeah. I have a great group of friends from high school. Are we recording? But I have a great group of friends from high school. And I have a lot of work friends. But I really believe there's only like 2 to 4 friends in your life, period.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah.
Here's something that I could use help with, and I ask you and I ask your listeners. I just cannot pick up the phone when a close friend calls. I hate answering the phone.
I would rather see a creditor is calling.
Yeah. Yeah,
like I mean, debt collector.
And it's really terrible because if I know someone's calling about work or hiring me, I'll answer.
Of course.
But a close friend, someone I love. And by the way, when I do pick up, I'm very happy I did. It's a positive experience. I feel closer. I feel in touch with humanity. I feel like I get to know more about their family. I feel more grounded in life. But when I am in the middle of something and the phone calls through and they've stopped calling, that's what happens. They stop calling.
I know.
So I don't know. I don't know what that. And my other, I have 3 siblings. I have 2 brothers. My sister will answer every time. Amazing. But my other brothers are the same way. What's going on?
Well, you know, I have a respect for the people who don't answer. I'm like, okay, I get you. I feel you. Yeah. We're the same.
Yeah.
So recently, I was talking to a friend of mine. Her name's Jen, but I call her on the show Resident Consultant Jen.
Nice.
Because she's getting her doctorate in psychology.
Oh, love it.
And. But her and I are like best friends. I say like best friends because I'm too uncomfortable to say best friends.
That's for
sure.
But
I think we're pretty much best friends.
Okay.
So she was talking about someone in her family recently, and she said she has trouble with transitions.
Okay.
And I'd never heard that phrase before.
I don't even know what that means.
Right. Trouble with transitions. It didn't really hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I went, oh my God, months later, I have trouble with transitions. And I think that's what the phone is. Because I'm in the same situation as you, whereas if I see someone that I love or like as a friend or family member calling me, it feels like someone just dumped a pile of shit on my phone. Right. And I'm like, ah.
Right.
And then usually I don't answer. But when I do,
it's great.
It's the same thing. So I think it's almost like the way I think of it is like, if you're laying out in the sun, you want to get in the pool because it's refreshing, but it's a little chilly.
Mm.
And that moment of like, on your skin is uncomfortable. But you have to go through that to get to the other side.
Right.
And that's how phone calls feel to me, socializing this. Yeah. Like before I do a podcast, it's the same feeling of the phone call.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I got to talk. I got to say hello to a person. I got to,
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm doing it, I'm fully enjoying it. It's almost like when I am now in the deep end of the pool.
Right.
It just took me a little bit to get there, but I just wish, so it's the transitions.
That's a transition there.
That's hard.
Interesting.
And I've kind of thought, okay, well, I think I actually do, if that is a thing, having trouble with transitions, waking up in the morning is hard for me. I don't like going from sleep to wake. It's too harsh.
Yeah, but that's bull. Everyone fucking hates that.
No, but I hate it on a level of where it's like fucked up with my life or fucked with my life.
Okay.
Where I'll choose to go back to sleep for many, many hours to not face that. And then I've missed things. Yeah.
My sister called me when I was skiing and I didn't answer. And I immediately text her, is dad okay? Right? Like I was thinking she's calling because dad's not okay.
Yeah.
And then we got in a text exchange and then I just called her and we talked and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? What's wrong with me?
Right. I could have just answered.
And she's calling to say hi.
Right. My sister calls me all the time.
It's so hard that I don't know why that's a thing.
It is a thing. I don't know. And it's like,
my sister calls me a lot too.
These sisters,
Well, your sister does.
Oh, I know
that's
she does.
That's thing.
I know. Like, she doesn't think you're a douche.
I answer when she calls.
Well, you're the funny version of her.
High five
other.
On radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't know if that answered your question. Social. That was a social friend.
But you seem to do well socially at the same time. So that's where I get curious.
In what way?
In what way? You know, you're working on The Daily Show. So
sure.
People
what
like you.
What
about
friendship?
Yeah, but where's the line? How do you... Because in work, you have to be liked.
Sure.
They wouldn't hire someone that they wouldn't want to hang out with.
Sure.
So what are you doing in your professional life that almost seems friendish, that makes them like you?
Right.
Are you schmoozing? Are you bantering? Are you texting? Are you...
I mean, I think I'm the worst person in that building with this stuff. I mean, I see my coworkers and it's like... It's unbelievable how they work the show. And working the show is too negative of a term. It feels genuine. They'll just go hang out in the writer's wing.
Right, because they actually enjoy.
I guess so.
Right.
Or they're that good and in show business is that fucked up that they've learned how to fake it that well. You know, like.
I think that's the thing is I think friendship, women fake orgasms. We're faking friendships just as much or more.
Right.
Because I mean, there are certain people that I do like, but generally, if I see people talking, I think they're fake. There's no way they actually like each other.
Yeah.
But then my mind is blown when I realize, oh, wow, they actually like each other. Same way with Banana Nicole Smith liking me.
Yeah.
My mind is blown.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Yeah, she's not faking that. There's nothing like, you know, she's not gaining anything from that.
Oh, well, she's gaining, lots of recognition.
Baby.
She's friends with Kristen Carney.
I'm a skeptic. I find in my business that some of those people that are so good at working. I think it's work. I think they've figured out how to fake sincerity.
I think if they are sincere about it, they have a mental illness.
Yeah.
There's something
wrong.
There's
something wrong with it. I think it can be a calculated decision. I choose really hard to not go there. I think it slowed my career down for sure. I think
it brought mine to a halt.
Yeah, brought yours to a halt. My parents live in New York City. They retired to New York City.
Oh, wow. How
so,
wonderful.
Yeah,
oh, my God. They could have joined us for the podcast.
Well, they're actually going to be here in about five minutes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Perfect timing.
I talked to my dad about this stuff. My dad's great. And he was terrible at it. He hated networking. He started his own business because of it. He hated the schmoozing. He hated the politics of work.
That's literally why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I can avoid the schmoozing
that,
and the politics.
The bullshit.
I don't know. I would never be able to get through an interview and be serious.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I mean, I try to keep my percentage of authenticity at its highest at all times. And to me, that's in the 90s. I think, I'd love to ask my coworkers, I think I'm in like 94, 95, 96% authentic Michael most of the time. I think it would behoove me to be at like 70 You know, just to play along better.
Okay,
you know,
I see.
Speak up if I'm frustrated, not make a joke that's really like a cut on someone's idea, you know,
instead of just cutting
the idea, make a joke that's like subtle.
I get it.
So I think the psychopaths are like 40% themselves. I think people that are uber successful are like 70% themselves, maybe less. And I think there's this small few that's in the 90s, I think. But maybe all those people would think they're in the 90s.
Well, but the thing is, I agree with you. And I think we're in the minority, because when I see the people who are very successful and I know for a fact they're operating at 40% sincerity, I don't know why the public or the people don't see through that.
I know. And now it becomes your purpose to show the public. And now you're a fucking miserable person.
Exactly.
That should never be your concern.
Exactly. And I'm isolating and just doing a podcast rather than going out and doing stand-up because I feel so much like toward that thing, that inauthenticity and the fact that people go along with it, and I disrespect I don't have any respect for the public or whoever is supporting those people. And I'm like, well, they're not going to get me because I'm authentic. So if they're going for inauthenticity, then they're going to not go for me. So what's the point of even trying, you know? And this is kind of comes full circle back to the alt hipstery comedy shows that I feel uncomfortable at.
We're in a weird business where there's people you know who you dislike, you don't like their art, and you know are inauthentic, and you have to drive by their billboard every day. You know, and it's like,
it happened actually recently at the movies when I was walking into a movie. You know, I'm like,
I know.
This is so painful.
And all we sound like are whiny bitches.
Right.
You know
like
what I
bitter.
Mean?
Yeah.
The person who's sitting next to you at the movie is like, just fucking get over it and enjoy the film.
Yeah,
and it's like, I have to prove, you know, when I went to a wedding this weekend in Boston suburb, and my friends are asking me questions about these comics that I hate.
Right. And you feel,
you know, and
guy.
It's like, but I'll say like, oh, it's garbage. It's garbage.
Good.
It's garbage. And then it's like, I just spent an hour telling people I care about that I'm like a negative curmudgeon.
I know.
When I should just say, hey, I'm happy you like that, you know?
Right.
So.
But that's inauthentic. And that's the problem, is that to be authentic, you sometimes have to be a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
But people can't really differentiate between the two. It's like, no, I'm being honest. I'm not being negative to be negative. I'm just being real. And there's a difference, but it's a fine line.
This is a great conversation. It really is.
I know.
How much authenticity should we be? And the answer should be 100.
And it's way below that.
It's way, I mean, most people, it's way below.
And that's one of the things, not to bring it back to Stevie, because I actually normally don't bring her up on the show and stuff.
Sure.
But when I did the first episode after she died, I basically said she was so authentic and she was so honest and real. Mm-hmm. And the biggest tragedy for me in losing her is losing one of the few people that I've ever met that I felt was just 100% authentic.
Yeah.
And it's such a rare, I think I said it's like a rare, you know, like a rare diamond. And once you find it, you're like, shit, I want to hold on to this because you're not going to find it again.
No. And those people leave this world because of that.
Right.
Because it's all fake.
Exactly. And so you can't.
Like Brody Stevens is the most authentic person I ever met. I don't, you know, maybe a more cynical me would have looked at him like kind of befriending people and thinking like, he's just kind of befriending people because he wants to be liked. But then it's like, now that he's gone and like all of that competitiveness and self, comparing to others is gone. I'm like, no, dude, that was just an authentic
just a nice
dude.
Guy. Yeah.
And my belief about his death was that he was all fucked up on medications, and it, you know, that's another conversation. But sometimes the most authentic people get the fuck out because they realize it's all fake.
Right. And that's sometimes
what a
I
sad
go,
thing.
Well, then if I'm still here, does that mean I'm inauthentic?
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. So,
and not only are you inauthentic, but your hair is terrible.
It's the worst. It's really frizzy and large.
Yeah.
And that's what I do miss about being in LA. No humidity. New York.
No humidity and no direct, honest conversation.
No.
Ever.
And this is too much in New York. It's a real hair and real conversation.
Yeah.
And it's just too much.
It is. It's sometimes it's too real.
That's why I'm drinking.
Yeah. No. Oh, this is why people drink here. You got to numb it all.
Right.
You got to numb it all.
All right. Well, so the last part of the show,
we're cruising through this.
We
thing,
are
right?
cruising. Yeah. Cruising for bruising.
Sorry. I'm burping.
Last segment of the show, I like to call Sweat the Small Stuff. Because I'm very happy.
That's super creative.
Thank you. very hacky. And it's not creative, I know. So what's something that people do etiquette-wise that or don't do that bothers you that you kind of want to get off your chest? Or things just like in the world. Like this doesn't make sense.
Right. You know, I do something that I find helpful. I find other people think is helpful. And I wish people would do it for me, which is when I see someone socially. And if it's not like 100% clear that we know each other well, I will say, "Hi, Michael Costa. It's nice to see you." And oftentimes they go, "Hey, Costa, yeah, I know your fucking name, right? But I just gave them a little freebie. Like, if you didn't, you got it.
Right.
Now it's in your hand."
Okay.
And so often people won't return that favor. By the way, if I'm telling you my name, it's because I don't know your fucking name.
Right. Hint, hint.
It's the most important thing that I can know about you is your name, especially in a social situation. You know, maybe not intimately, but you would hope intimately you know their name. I would never do that to you.
Yeah.
I know you. But so often they go, "Yeah, I know. I know who you are." And it'll be like,
"Yeah, but obviously I don't know who you are. Right.
Everybody listening, all 15 people, that is code word for tell me your name.
16, actually.
16 people.
For the record.
Please and thank you is an obvious one. Littering is an obvious one. There's a lot of social interactions at our show where people are looking at their phone the whole time. To me, that's like so disrespectful. But those are hacky. Everyone's talked about those.
I remember a long time ago, I remember hearing Adam Carolla saying something about how he always goes with "nice to see you" rather than "nice to meet you," just in case they have met before. But he didn't say anything about throwing in his name first.
Yeah.
So I will say on the other person's end, it would be jarring.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were like, "Michael Costa, nice to meet you." But I can see you in your character saying it like
hey,
almost
Michael,
like a Chevy kind Chase. Of, yeah. Like it's my like whatever the Saturday Night Live sign off thing was. Like I can almost see it as like a jokey thing.
Right.
But if you came up to me and you said, "Michael Costa, nice to meet you."
It would
seem
almost disrespectful, right?
I would be like, "Fuck you."
Right.
So I can kind of get the other end.
I can kind of get it too. And if I thought that, if I saw a comic or a friend and they were important to me and they introduced themselves to me, it's disrespectful, you know? So I think just though in general, like, and also Adam's case, it's probably very weird because he's famous. It's like it'd be weird if Tiger Woods going around saying Tiger Woods, and I'd be like, "Yeah, we know."
I love how you just put him on the same level as Tiger Woods.
Is he not?
Yeah, he is.
No, he is. So I would just my whole thing is like, yo, let's be real conscious about names, everybody. Well, and let's make it easy for the person you're talking to.
Where I am absolutely 100% on your side is the fact that if you say your name, they should be queued up to say their name back. Yeah. If they're not, they're annoying or they're maybe they just aren't paying enough attention.
They're not listening.
I would assume they're not smart.
Not listening.
Yeah.
But also if I'm saying my name to you and you know me well and I should know your name, say your name to me and then call me a dumb motherfucker. And now we're in banter.
Now we're
town.
Even.
Now we're
that's,
in banter
that,
town.
I swear to God, that's something that I would say in my
now
banter.
Now I'm
lessons.
Loving you.
I know. I swear to God, I would say that's something that you call out.
Hey, you dumb motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's
obviously. Hello, yes. Kristen. So
that's a thing.
Yeah, I get it.
That's a name thing. Other pet peeve? Yeah, it's not pet peeve.
Well, not that I'm trying to steal your thunder, but I want to throw mine in there because
it's your podcast.
It's my podcast. Well, it's weird because you would think I would just ask the guests, but I every week feel like I have to, you know, participate.
Mm-hmm.
And I say every week as in this podcast.
How many of these have you done, this podcast?
This will be number 91, I think.
That's a lot.
Or 92.
That's a good number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a good
it's getting up in there. This doesn't really have to do with people specifically, but in general, you know what really bothers me?
What?
The non-universal system for locks and how either up and down on the lock can mean locked or side horizontal. So vertical can mean locked.
Be more specific. What lock?
So like see that door right now we're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay, there's no horizontal, so it's perfect. But either when you lock it, you turn the little thing.
Right.
And either you turn it vertical and that means locked, or you turn it horizontal and that can also mean locked.
I think I have a response to this.
Let me hear it.
Do you want to hear it or do you want to keep going?
Well, I have another point to make.
Because you shit on mine a little bit.
Yeah, please shit on
mine. So I can shit on yours.
Thank you.
I think it is universal. I think vertical is open.
No, I always.
Okay.
But whoa. And you think vertical's open.
And I think this is locked perpendicular.
Ah.
And I just think people put their handles in wrong.
Nope. This is exactly what is the problem. Because I thought vertical was universal locked.
Interesting.
And horizontal was universal open. So there's not a consistent.
Yeah.
As a society, it seems like we would have come to a consensus.
Yeah. Have you Googled this?
No.
I bet there is a consensus and just people put in their hand,
they're just lazy and they're going to do doorknobs, whatever. Wrong. Right. Yeah. But the other problem with the lock.
Tell me.
Another problem is the spring loaded lock. There's no,
by the way, this is like wonderful stand-up comedy material.
I know it is. And
no one else is talking about that.
No, not.
That's great.
You're not being sarcastic, right?
No, I'm not.
Right. But the thing is, I get on stage, people look at me, they don't want to hear me talk about spring-loaded
locks. Oh,
shut
the fuck up. You're not that pretty. Shut the fuck up.
Thank you. That's amazing.
You're not. Like, get over it.
I know, but no, but still, I think it's just I'm not funny. I think it's
the
problem.
Okay, well, that's an issue.
That's the problem.
That's the issue.
Right, right.
But don't give me this look thing.
Well, no, it's just I don't look like I'm going to talk about spring-loaded locks. And when I do, I feel like.
Start with that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I know. I'm not here to coach your
comedy. I know. I appreciate that.
But if you're the type of brain that thinks about that shit.
It's all I think about.
That's so beautiful and weird and different.
Yeah.
Share that with me.
All right.
That's just a thought.
Okay. Well, thank you. I like that. So my confidence was built up with that, but then also slammed down with a not that pretty thing, but it's fine. It's evening out.
So continue. Sorry.
So the spring loaded lock, it's such a habitual thing. So mm-hmm. when you get in the bathroom, you click the spring, you forget, did I do that? Because you're not even thinking. It's just,
right.
it's habit.
Right.
And then you're squatting on the toilet mm-hmm. or whatever, like you're, mm-hmm. I'm sure, squatting. Mm-hmm. And you're, all of a sudden you look over and you can't tell if the spring-loaded lock has been pressed in or not. There's no indication. So now it's just a mystery. So either
can I offer a solution?
Please.
Stop locking it. Who gives a fuck?
Me.
I mean, who cares?
Because there's always...
I've never locked it.
Yeah, because you're a weirdo.
Come on in.
You get off on that shit.
Come on in. Watch me try to piss with an erection. Why? What? I mean,
because
if someone's gonna walk in on you sitting in the bed, that's a psychopath.
It's different for dudes than it is for women. Because guys, you're standing. It's almost like a typical position you'd be in. But for girls, we're squatting. We're getting our squats in.
Yeah.
And if a lot of the time there's my beef also is the bathroom. Door that opens directly like into the restaurant. There's no buffer.
Sure.
So
it's big in New York.
So, right. So small spaces, open the door, you're squatting, someone eating pasta sees you. It's just, it's like, I'd rather not have that happen. You'll survive. Most likely.
But you're right. There should be a universal.
So you would think with the spring loaded lock, there would be, you could see like once it's pressed in, you see red.
Right.
But there's nothing. And then sometimes the spring-loaded lock doesn't even go in far enough. It's like an Audi belly button.
Can I offer?
It almost looks like an Audi, even though you pressed it in.
Right.
I'm very talented.
If you're thinking about this, odds are so are a million other women.
Right.
If I were you, which I'm not, thank God.
Thank God.
I would make a little small door stopper that fits in the purse.
Oh my God, it's a great idea.
That says. KristenCarney.com on it.
Oh my God, this is Shark Tank worthy.
And you know.
Oh my God, that's so good.
And if it's a pull out door, I don't know what you do then.
Well, that's the problem, right?
But we can come up with some solution.
Yeah.
But if it's a pull indoor, you put it in the purse, slide it in there, you're safe.
Yeah, it's like a.
You're safe. If this is a real concern, I mean, this never even crossed my mind.
It crosses my mind enough to where I'm talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I like your solution, and that's the problem is that I offer problems, very little solutions.
Right.
You're offering a solution.
Well, and that's why I'm where I am and where you are. Where you are.
No, honestly, for real, that's not a joke. It's real.
I think I was reminded today that at work that it's better to be solution based than problem based.
Definitely.
And sometimes the problem does need to be bitched about. Yes.
Yes, we all need.
Ladies and gentlemen, it does
cathartic.
Need to be identified.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, you want to be around people that offer solutions, not problems.
There was Maria Menounos, her husband,
Kevin mm-hmm.
Undergaro. He is a very good businessman.
Okay.
But he was the first one that ever pointed that out to me. If you don't like something and the way something's done,
right,
don't just say it, have a solution to it.
Right.
And that always stuck with me. And I think it's partially why Maria Menounos is so successful, not
sure.
the fact that she's insanely beautiful, but also.
But it's not because she's insanely beautiful.
But she,
there's other beautiful women that
right.
probably.
Kevin has yeah. been this driving force, but he's a very smart guy. And I remember him mm-hmm. saying that. It stuck with me, not that I've used it, but I agree. Solutions
I would argue
important.
That Maria's only successful because of her husband.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And in today's day and age, I think it's important to remember that women
to
can
give
only
men
get
the credit.
So far.
I know. Behind every great woman.
The man. There's
is a much smarter
a man,
man.
Who's really way smarter, but just realizes that the future is female.
Right. And behind every boring podcast is an entertaining male to make it better. And that's you, Michael
that
Costa.
That will lose his job tomorrow because
yes.
of that comment he made.
Oh, yeah, he will. So I can edit that if you'd like me to.
No, don't. That's
okay.
good. It's funny.
Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Hey, this was great.
Where can my 16 listeners find you
yeah,
on the internet?
Yeah. MichaelCosta.com, KOSTA. And it's
do people
all,
pronounce your name wrong?
They don't pronounce it wrong. They spell it wrong a lot.
Like, do they do with a C?
Costa or Costas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Bob Costas.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's all on the internet or just social media at Michael Costa. If you like my cute dog, go to my Instagram. My stories are always my dog.
An incredibly cute dog.
9-pound Havanese mix named Walter. Don't even follow for me. Follow for Walter.
He's exceptionally cute.
Cute.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks.
Make sure you follow Michael's dog on Instagram. And please give me 5 stars on iTunes because it helps me grow the show, but also helps you sleep at night. Just knowing you're a good person.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/KristenAndChill. Money. And I hope you enjoy Uncle Tony's rant here. And remember, stay bored enough to listen, but not too bored. Bye, guys.
Help me, Tony. I'm addicted to social media and meth. But social media is definitely more dangerous. How do I kick this phone habit? I'll worry about the meth later. First of all, you might want to start by writing something funny. That's fucking stupid. I'm addicted to social media and meth. Oh, I get it. That's hilarious. Well, comedy writing's not in your future, so let's make this real quick here. How about you don't worry about looking at everyone's goddamn highlight reel of all the fun stuff that they think they do but they don't do? You know, how many people I know, you know, I look at the social media and, oh, you know, I married my best friend and you know. Meanwhile, I know that the husband's off boning something else. In the case that I'm thinking of, happens to be a man, there's no judgment. But in the, you know, but then they're on the Instagram, they're posting the pictures, you know, we're always, the honeymoon never ended, we're in love, it's just bullshit. It's bullshit. What you're looking at is a facade. It's, you know, they used to call it back in the old days the Potemkin Village, because there was, you know, a queen somewhere was, you know, wanted to come look at all her land, and she would go down the river in a boat. And they built this fake city on the end of the river because everyone in the goddamn country was starving. So they built this fake city. They called it the Potemkin Village because so she could drive through there and go, oh, look, everybody's doing great. But it's all a fucking lie. That's essentially what social media is. It's just a big Potemkin Village. It's all a lie. So how about you stop wasting your time here? Think about this. When you're on your deathbed, what do you, you know, you're taking your last breath. What do you wish you had not spent so much goddamn time on? What, your likes? Your likes and your fans and your followers or whatever the hell they are. Think about that. You can have 500,000, you can have 1,000,000 of them. What are you doing with your life? Nothing. Nothing. Unless you can monetize that by putting on one of them string bikinis and, you know, posing over there with the sandals. That's fine. Look, I get behind that personally because I, you know, I like a lady's form. That's just me. But if you're not, let's say you're a guy, for example. You're one of those fucking guys, the schwagutz, who's, you know, waxes the eyebrows. No thanks. You know what? You need to get a fucking job. Girls, I can give them a pass, too. You do, you know, listen, you got to powder your nose and you look pretty. That's fine. You do your fun thing. But I'm telling you, wasting time on your social media. Especially you, my fucking niece. Jesus Christ. You're constantly depressed about all this shit that you don't have. Well, here's a fun fact. All those people that you're looking at, they don't have it either. It's a lie. Fucking go build your own life. Living well is the best revenge. That's the bottom line, right? So go, do, accomplish, be better. Then, fuck off. You don't need social media because a paparazzi is going to be following you around taking pictures for you. So there you go.